something. It's very close to my heart. That will totally embarrass someone. My wife and I have been married 49 years. Nancy, would you stand up, please? That's my wife of 49 plus years. That's a saint. Yep. I was going to call her up here, but wild horses couldn't bring her up here. Once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he turned water into wine. That was last week's sermon. If you're wondering about our sermons, the next five, Jesus did seven miracles in the Gospel of John. Today we talk about the second one. The first one was when he turned water into wine. There was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged Jesus to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Jesus said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you're never going to believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus said, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on his way, the servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday, at 1 o'clock, the fever left him. When the father realized that was the exact same time that Jesus said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This is the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Between the first miracle in Cana, turning water to wine, and the second miracle here, the healing of a nobleman's son, many things took place. Jesus went to the temple, and he saw them abusing God's place of worship by selling and taking advantage of people. And he cleaned out the temple and said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves. My father's house should be a house of prayer. And boy, nothing's changed. This place should be a place of prayer and worship every time we walk in. Then the Bible tells us a man came to Jesus by night in Nicodemus. And said, we know you're from God. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you've got to be born again of water and the Spirit. If you're not born of water and the Spirit, you can't enter or see the kingdom of God. It was Nicodemus who first heard these words, God so loved the world that he gives only begotten Son. After that, the Bible says in John 4 that Jesus went to an area in Samaria. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews, and Jesus sat down at a well at noon. And the woman came at noon to fill her water pot because most women came in the morning, and that woman was hated in the community because she'd been married 5 times and was living with a man who wasn't her husband. And Jesus asked her for some water, and she was shocked because a man didn't talk to a woman, and a Jew certainly didn't talk to a Samaritan. He offered her living water. She went back to her community and said, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. This has got to be the Christ. Those are the things that happened between turning the water to wine and then this passage here. And I'm going to tell you something now, and I have no idea how this is going to work out on our PowerPoint. We hope it works out good. But this is a tough, challenging sermon because it deals with faith. So it's time to ask this question. How many people here this morning would like to have more faith than they do. Okay. Or if you're satisfied with your faith, that's okay too. We're going to have a ladder of faith this morning. I read a story of a man who fell off a cliff. And he found a branch. And he grabbed that branch and hung on. The man didn't believe in God. He was an atheist. But he was going to die if the branch broke. And so he said, "If there's a God up there, would you answer?" And God said, "I'm up here." He said, "God, help me out." And the voice said, "If you believe in me, I'll help you." And the man said, "I believe in you." And then the voice said, "Let go of the branch." Faith is total trust in God. And in this passage, this morning, how God does this, God always amazes me, because it's about a father who's about to lose his son. So here we have, and I'm going to be fair with this, so here we have a daughter who was airlifted to Madison, Wisconsin. Because my mom married four men. Her first three husbands died. She lost them in death. So if I was the fourth guy, I probably wouldn't have married mom. Three guys, three husbands died, and then here comes the fourth one. But mom lost two sons. And I'll never forget my mom saying this: "It's always easier to lose a mate than to lose a child. Because you always expect your children to outlive you. And you expect your children to bury you. You don't expect to bury your children." And so here's our daughter in the hospital. We pray for her and have decided that, she's in God's hands. Here is Jean's daughter flying from Liberia, and Joy's son flying. And you always want to say, they're in God's hands. But it's not easy. It's not easy. And so this sermon comes to me first, and if you can get something out of it, go ahead. All right? The stages of faith. Here's the first one. The first stage of faith is the crisis stage. Let me tell you, this man would never have come to Jesus if he didn't have a crisis. If his son wasn't sick, he wouldn't look for Jesus. He had issues, he had conflict, he had problems, and it was his son. So crisis brought him. And I know, as well as I know my own name, there are people here this morning that you didn't start going to church or hunting for faith until you had a crisis in your life. I know that you're here. Some of you came because something happened in your life that was critical, and you needed God and needed church, and so you came. And I know also there are people here who say, "Justin, you're out of your mind. A crisis doesn't bring faith." Yes, it does. And if you don't have a crisis, you're blessed. But tell you this, I'm looking at people who had crisis in their family. If you haven't had a crisis in your family, you will. And that's where you decide, am I going to trust him or not? All we wanted to find out from the hospital was this. Not blood tests, not numbers, all this. All we wanted to find out was, is she okay? And that's all you want to find out when the plane comes back. Are they okay? Are they okay? So that's first. Second, let's go second. The second stage of faith is humility. This man was a nobleman, an official. He had money, he had wealth, he had position, he had power, and he had a crisis. And instead of sending someone else to his crisis, he went himself. And the Bible tells us, by the way, in case you're interested, 22 miles from where he lived to where Jesus lived, 22 miles. This wealthy, powerful man went 22 miles because he heard of Jesus and he wanted some help from Jesus. Do you think when he found Jesus that he went to his knees? I think so. You think he begged Jesus? I think so. But he said, "Master, come help me." I think so. This was a man who was used to taking care of people's problems, and now he needed someone to take care of his problems. So humility. I'm going to tell you something that you probably know. money won't keep you from trouble. Rich folks just die in more expensive hospitals. All the money in the world and lose someone that you love. Money won't keep you from trouble. So this nobleman probably heard every night, "Daddy, it hurts. Help me." And I think this man, when he went to his bed, there were tears in his pillows, and he thought, "I'm going to hunt up this Jesus I heard about," and he went 22 miles out for Jesus. So the ladder of faith starts with a crisis, and it goes on to humility, but here's the third one. Take a look. Request. You got to ask. And this man came to Jesus, and he asked. There are people who never ask God for anything because they probably haven't got any needs, but the more you have needs, the more you're going to talk to God, and you're going to ask God to fulfill your needs. That's why there are chaplains in hospitals. Because people get in the hospital, they want a minister to come, and they want someone to pray with them to unburden themselves or make sure they're right with God before they die. I want to tell you about Lorene for a minute. Lorene was a woman whose husband, well, I'm not going to tell you that yet because it'll spoil the illustration. Lorene lived on a farm. She didn't want to live, so she cut her wrists and walked down to the river and laid down to die. Someone found her before she perished and got her to the hospital. He called Justin to go see Lorene. I thought, how do I reach this girl? And so I said, you know what? She said, well, I don't believe in God. There's no God. So I did my best. You know what? God's like a father. And she said, if you tell me that, I will take my life out because my father abused me every day. And so that was a bad thing to say, but we talked for a while. And I remember like yesterday, as a preacher, I'm supposed to pray with this girl. So I prayed. She did not want me to pray. And when I looked up, I saw her eyes were open, and she never prayed with me. But why I'm telling you that is because she was there for a week. I came two more times. And the third time before I left, she said, "Mr. Shepherd, will you pray with me?" And she made that request. And Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. And knock, and it'll be opened unto you." We got to ask. And the Bible says sometimes you don't have because you don't ask. And if you think of the prodigal son, when he came home, and the older son was jealous, and he said, "You never gave me a party." I think the father said, "Well, if you'd asked for one, I might have given you one." This father's faith had a positive and a negative. And I want to talk to you about that before we go to our fourth one. The positive was he believed that Jesus could heal his son. The negative was he thought that Jesus had to come back 22 miles to heal his son. And we have a powerful Lord, don't we? Isn't God powerful? Jesus spoke the word 22 miles away. And when Jesus said that, the reason Jesus could do that was because he's God. And he's in control of time and space. And so he said, "Your son's alive." So he made the request, but he thought, he had faith, but he didn't have enough faith to think that Jesus could do it there. "You got to come back with me 22 miles. Here's the next one. The fourth stage, you did a good job up there, is persistence. And this is where I'm being transparent. We have to have a faith that never gives up, that never gives up, that never gives up, and never gives up. Because as soon as his father said, "Please come and help my son, he's dying," Jesus seems very out of character. And Jesus said, "Well, unless you believe, see signs, you're not going to believe." That sounds really rude. Except we know Jesus could not be rude. He was testing this man and saying, "You need to be persistent." And the man was persistent. As soon as Jesus said, unless you see signs, you're not going to believe, the man said, sir, you got to come down or my son's going to die. Jesus told a story about persistence. He said there was a woman who had an adversary, and she went to the judge and bothered the judge. And basically, the bottom line of that story is, the judge said, I'm going to give you a request because you won't leave me alone, because you kept after me. And of course, God's better than a wicked judge. Here comes one of the most important points in the sermon about persistence. The snail made it to the ark. Let that go all the way to the back row there. He made it. Someone came to me last week and said, I don't understand this, but I'll share it with you. The devil's after my car. And I've heard before, the devil's after my child. The devil's after my husband. And by the way, don't say you can have him. Don't do that. The devil's after my... Listen very carefully. What in the world is the devil going to do with a car? The devil's not after your car or your house or your income. He's after your faith. Because if he can get to your faith, then he can bring you down. He doesn't want your stuff. He wants your faith. Fifth point. Fifth stage of faith is obedience. Raise your hand if you had a father and grew up in a home when your father said to do something and you as a child said, why? Your dad said, because I said so. Look at that. Oh, my goodness. He never explained. Yeah, look at his hand still up, Barry, over there. I said, I am going to answer you. This is because I said so. We don't always have to understand God or have him figured out. But when he tells us to do something, we need to do it because he said so. Okay, this is going to touch somebody. See, this sermon might not be for everybody, but it's for somebody here today, okay? When God says, you need to forgive, there's someone here, maybe more than one person here this morning, who says, I don't want to forgive. You don't do it because you can figure it God out. You do it because God said forgive. And the reason God said forgive is because every day you don't forgive, that person wins. And it'll eat at you more than them. And if I haven't got your attention, if I've lost it by now, we'll do this one too. God says tithe. Well, wait a minute. 10 tenths goes further than 9 tenths, 9 tenths with God goes further than 10 tenths without God. And we haven't got to explain the math. Banks don't like that, but God says just do it. And be obedient. And if the Bible says, God says, you know, if someone hurts your feelings, go to them. Wait a minute, time out. I'm not going to them. They hurt my feelings. They got to come to me. No, that's not what God said. God said, you go to them. Well, how come? I figured it out. Sometimes we can hurt someone's feelings and not know it. And so the person needs to come to us and say, you know what, you hurt my feelings. And so that's obedience. And so here's Jesus say, go your way to this dad. Your son's alive. And the father could say, wait a minute. You're 22 miles away. My son's really bad. If I leave now, I'm not sure he'll be okay. And I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit whispered in this dad's ear, you can trust the words of Jesus. Look up here if I still got your attention. Just look up here. This father began by trusting the miracles of Jesus, and then he trusted the word of Jesus, and then he trusted Jesus. That was the sequence. Okay, so I didn't bring them up here. They're in my office. I'm going to bring them up as an illustration. I asked my wife to do this, and I put them in my office. I have a big bag in a Ziploc bag of my medication that I take. Blood medication, heart medication, whatever else is out there, cholesterol medication, it's in a bag. I was going to bring it up here and show you, but you wouldn't be impressed anyway. Some of you have more medication and some of you don't care. Medication. Why do I take medication? I take medication. Why am I obedient? Because I believe in a doctor, and the doctor prescribed this medication, so I believe the medication, and I take it. If I believe in the doctor and believe in the medication and don't take it, it doesn't help me. So if I believe in the Lord and in His Word and in His Son, then I become obedient to Him. Well, we got two more. And if you got a pot roast in, then hang in there. The sixth stage is confirmation. We're getting to my favorite part of the sermon now. As the Father goes home, and He sees people coming out of the house, and it's His wife and some servants. And have you ever seen people walk when they're mad? They walk when they're upset. They walk different than when they're happy. We have a granddaughter who always had a mad walk, and she always had a happy walk. No, it's not Erica, but we've only got two granddaughters. And as he gets to the house, "Honey, our son's alive." And he said, "Well, what time was it that he got better?" They said, "He didn't get better. He didn't gradually get better. He got instantly cured at 1 o'clock. And the father said, "Wait a minute. 1 o'clock? That's when Jesus told me that your son's okay." And he confirmed it. By the way, for those of you who are interested, this is a side note in the sermon. They said yesterday at 1 o'clock. That means the father believed in Jesus so much that he waited a day. He trusted His word. Faith, put your faith in God and He delivers, that's confirmation. Pray to God and He answers your prayer, that's confirmation. Ask God to help a loved one and He helps that loved one, that's confirmation. Go to God and ask Him to wash away your sins and forgive your sins, and He does, that's confirmation. And so the next step of faith is confirming. And there are people here who could take my place up here and say, "You know what? This happened in my life. I prayed and God answered." That's confirmation. And here's the last one. Commitment. Commitment is a top of the ladder faith. And it goes like this. Your faith is so strong that you'll never doubt God again. And your faith is so strong that the devil can't touch it. And your faith is so strong that nothing that happens in your life will affect your faith. That's a commitment faith. And so out of the house comes his wife. "Honey, our son's okay. And I know who did it. It was the Jesus that you looked for. And I believe in the Jesus that you believe in." And then came his boy. And his boy came out and said, "Dad, I know you went 22 miles to look for that prophet Jesus. I'm okay. And I believe in the Jesus that you believe in." Not done. Then the servants came out. And the servants said, "We watched your son. And he got better right away. And we believe in the Jesus that you believe in." Wife, son, servants. The Bible says entire household. So here comes what the preacher wants to say to this group today. I wish the Lord could reach your entire household. Amen. This church wants to reach your whole family, your whole household. And some of you are sitting there saying, "You know what? You've reached our whole household." And others are sitting there saying, "You'll never reach my whole household." But we want to. God wants to. And I want to. Why not reach your family? I want to close this sermon with this story. They say there was a house on fire And in the second story, there was a little boy. And his father was outside the house on the ground. And he said to his son, "Jump. Your dad's down here. I'll catch you." And the little boy said this, "There's too much smoke, Daddy. I can't see you." And the father said, "That doesn't matter. I can see you." It doesn't matter that we can't see the Father sometimes. The Father always sees us and what we're going through, and He'll always catch us. In this sermon, I tried to look at Justin Shepherd, "Where's your faith in this?" And it's, I try to have an obedient faith. I think it's between confirmation and commitment. I want a faith that nothing can destroy. Where's yours? Where's yours? Please stand with me. And let's sing our closing song together. Those of you who want to prepare, the Lord willing, for next Sunday, read the fifth chapter of John. And the sermon will be from the fifth chapter. Invitation time, and I just want to remind you, because most people who go to church, by the way, some have a church habit that still don't know the Lord. Just thought I'd tell you that. This is invitation time. Invitation time is more important, very important to God. What people think is this is the end of the service. No, it's invitation time. And I don't know how else to say this, but if the Queen of England were to announce she's stepping down from her throne, that'd be in the largest print of every paper. I don't dare go with if our president resigned, but I'm trying to figure out my heart there. Be large print. When a person accepts Jesus, it doesn't get front page in large print, but it causes more commotion in heaven than if the queen resigns. Because the Bible says when a person comes to Jesus, heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. So the invitation is open to accept Jesus, to place your fellowship here if you're already a Christian, to get baptized in Jesus or just come up for prayer. Whatever it is, the invitation is open. Don't just get in the habit of, "Oh, we're almost done. I'm going to get out there and start my car." This is important to God. So if no one comes, that's okay. But we worship now with the next verse.